Welcome to another edition of the Books and Culture Podcast with John Wilson, who's the editor of Books and Culture, and I'm Stan Guthrie. John, one of the things I like about these podcasts is that you never settle into a routine on the kinds of books you're willing to discuss, and I see in your lap right now a beautiful, I guess I could call it a coffee table book of photographs and text, but the photographs are quite different, and it'll be a little bit difficult to convey what this book is like in a podcast, but I'm going to turn it over to you and let you try your best.
Thanks, Dan. This is one of the most beautiful and haunting books I have seen in a while. It's exactly as you described, and I hope that our conversation will prompt a few readers to acquire it for themselves, to go online and look for images, perhaps to find an opportunity to see some of the images in person. The book we're talking about is called Las Sombras / The Shadows, and it shows the work of Kate Brakey, and she has a brief preface in which she describes how the work came about. I picked the dead coyote up off the road. It had been hit by a car, probably at dawn that morning. It was surprisingly heavy, but its coat was finer and softer than I had imagined. I had never been this close to a coyote before. It was like someone's docile pet dog, all its wildness gone now, just a quiet corpse, a female. I imagined her pack, maybe even her young, waiting for her, calling her. Roadkill, large or small, always fills me with anger and sadness. My heart aches for the loss of an innocent life. A curious cyclist stopped to watch me loading her in the car. "I just want to bury it," I said. This was not the whole truth, but it was too hard to explain that I was taking her home to make a picture, a photogram. She would become a pale coyote shape against a dark background, as you can see here, Stan, across the page. She would make her own image, a kind of shadow, which would last long after her body was gone. On the way home, I worried she might not fit under the enlarger and that my paper wouldn't be wide enough, and it was going to be hard work digging such a big hole. Maybe I would leave her out in the desert for the buzzards. After all, that would be what nature intended. In 1834, William Henry Fox Talbot, 1800-1877, saw that silver salts darkened in the sun and invented a photographic process he called photogenic drawing, in which images were made without a camera, the subject simply laid on chemically treated paper and exposed to light. Soon afterwards, the daughter of a biologist, an Englishwoman called Anna Atkins, 1799-1871, began a decade-long obsession with collecting and documenting algae and seaweed using a similar process known to produce cyanotype photograms. She self-published this collection, hundreds of beautiful, otherworldly images of white amorphous shapes floating on a deep blue background, in a series of volumes called Photographs of British Algae. Although she labeled the images in neat Victorian handwriting with their classifying genus and species, I expect that to her they were more than just records of botanical specimens. When I first put a eucalyptus leaf on a piece of photographic paper in the dark, in an art school in Australia, roughly 130 years later, my fate was sealed, my own desire to document and chronicle the natural world having been set in motion. In my own way, I have devoted myself to that end. As I laid the coyote on the photographic paper, gently stroked the dust and grit off its glossy coat, and arranged its tail, I thought about Anna arranging her seaweed with the same care and with the same anticipation. These images are contact prints of the remains of living things, plants, reptiles, mammals, insects, and birds. Their imprints, ghostly shadows, are burned directly onto paper with light and with love to make a permanent record, a lasting impression.
I see the coyote shot, the whole figure is that sort of amberish color on a black background. It's beautiful, and I see as you're thumbing through, there are many, many more images. Why don't you tell us about some of them?
There's a photographer I know who is also a professor of art, and I'm hoping that he will write about this book for Books and Culture, and that we can reproduce one of the images. They are as you describe, and I was fascinated by her description of the process, but ultimately what matters is what you see. And what I find uncanny is the way that these images, for instance, this one here, which is of a Western screech owl, how these images at once capture the nature of the living creature, and at the same time, its mortality. It seems to me that in a very unobtrusive way, there's something about the truth of our existence that is communicated in these photograms that is fresh, and everything in it, I could say mortality, well, we all know about that. We've all seen the various creatures that are
right
in here, or they're like. We may not have seen the white-lined sphinx moth, for instance, here that you see surrounded by leaves, but if we haven't seen that particular moth, we've seen other moths, and we've seen leaves, and if we haven't seen this particular possum, we've seen other possums, and we've seen snakes, and so on. But as art does, these works force us to attend to something
right
that we see normally in other circumstances. They isolate, they heighten, and yet they do it in such a quiet way. I think it's partly the quietness that is so powerful. And I don't know what the artist believes or doesn't believe about our place in the world and the origin of all this life and its ultimate fate. I don't know any of those things, but for me, this is a work that is as moving in a deep spiritual way as the Messiah.
Yeah.
You know, it's overwhelming, and it fills me with a sense of sadness, joy, wonder. Not many works do all that.
It certainly gives you space to think about each of these subjects in a new way, because it highlights certain things and, of course, leaves out certain things.
Exactly.
And it seems to point toward something more beyond the physical.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you said that. We've talked a little bit about John Muir's
right
meticulous collection of specimens of plants and how he was so attuned to their particularity, and yet there's always something there pointing to something else. And I feel a real kinship between his work and what she's doing here.
Yeah, I think as you see the artistry of the author of this book, you can see a bit of the artistry of the ultimate author.
Amen.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, Dan.